This is David Moyes.
This is Jaap Stam.
This is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daley.
This is Adam Lallana.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graeme Hunter.
You see, you're back because I knew you'd be addicted. This is part two of The Big Interview with Adam Lallana. Naturally, when we had the chance to speak to this intelligent, articulate man who was particularly friendly and open with us, hopefully he enjoyed himself, we had to ask him about Alexis McAllister. We wanted to know a little bit about how this man, who was brought over from Argentinos Juniors, loaned back to Boca, and then taken into Brighton's first team for growing impact and influence before becoming a world champion. We wanted to know about McAllister's adaptation into England and English football, how it was that Adam helped him, and then details about the man as a player and why it was that everybody at Brighton and Hove Albion felt Argentinian during the World Cup. Then there's this coach. What do you think of Roberto Di Serbi? Were you surprised when he was appointed to take over from Graham Potter? And what do you think of his football? I'll let you know that Adam thinks he is literally unique. This experienced footballer reckons that Brighton's imaginative Italian coach is a true one-off, unique. Then, of course, there's Messi. You want him to explain exactly what he's learned from Messi and how he's trying to imitate Messi. And you want to know why Santi Cazorla is in Adam's top three footballers ever, at least when I asked him to name them on that day. You want to know why? He'll explain, I promise. This is The Big Interview. Listen, enjoy, I hope, I believe. When you have, pass it on to others. Share the message. It's nice to hear talented footballers like Adam Lallana speaking like this. I hugely enjoyed myself. Maybe you'll be able to tell. Adios. You're quite good at this because Gareth Scriven was about to ask you. Gareth Scriven's one of our supporters, one of our socios. What's it like for Adam to play in the same club team as World Cup winner Alexis McAllister, and how good a player is Alexis? I think it's been easy for Alexis at Brighton since, if you score your first Premier League goal in the 90th minute at Palace, you're a fucking legend already, you know?
Yeah.
Did you have to explain to him how it is that a team so far away could be a derby match and how significant it was for him to get a 90th minute equaliser against Palace? Because he could not have understood other than, you know, we've got a point in the last minute with 10 men. But for Brighton, Palace is a big game.
Of course, it's a big game, yeah, and I still question whether I know exactly how the rivalry still is.
Maybe nobody does by now.
But nah, Alexis, you know, what a special player and a special person. Took him a bit of time to settle.
Yeah.
Coming in, learning the language. His English is incredible now. He's picked it up. He's a player that, he's so pure how he plays. The way he lends the football, he uses others. There's no selfishness, like, at all in the way he plays, and it was so special watching him during the World Cup, you know, not playing to begin with, and then him getting used and then proving himself and then playing so well that there's no way this guy doesn't play. And then at the end to see like Messi looking for him, like Messi was like looking for him to link to play. I mean, when Messi's looking for you, that's to help build attacks.
You see them doing this, don't you?
Alexis's role was almost to mirror where Messi was. Whether Messi was deep, he'd then take higher positions. If Messi was high, he'd like drop. And that just shows how much he understands that is in his footballing intelligence. Okay, he's not the quickest, he's not the strongest. Doesn't matter. Because up here, it's like Modric. Not the quickest, he's not the strongest, but so smart. He knows that the football's faster than anyone, anything, And Alexis is of that ilk. He just is. He had to battle tough moments here in the beginning. He's very
lockdown.
Coming over at lockdown, adapting to the culture, the language. He's a very introverted, shy guy.
Like Messi.
Yeah.
I think off the pitch, I think things like that matter.
Yeah, of course.
That the people recognise one another's character.
Of course. And I always went out of my way to make sure he was okay, because I knew he was such a wonderful person, player, because I could see it. Just needed time.
Mm.
Sometimes you just need time to adapt to the surroundings, the shitty weather, you know, Brighton, the language, the league, the relentlessness of the league, how physical it is. The reception he got here from everyone when he came back was incredible.
I need to ask you where you are, because you're a busy father. Where were you? How did you watch the final?
I watched the final with my eldest son at my house.
As France press, as the ball, Debo Martinez kicks, and France press at left back, and the ball goes to, first of all, to Nahuel Molina, whose introductory game at Aleti was a horror ball, where the ball came at him, he fluffed, and Villarreal took it and scored, and he keep playing the complaint. But it's simple for people like you, but right back in a World Cup final, the ball gets pressed, it's coming at you wild, and he just volleys it to Alexis. It's a volley pass, and he knew exactly where it's going. And you're watching this with your boy, with whom you speak a lot of football, and the volley pass goes Alexis, and then it goes Messi, and then it goes Alvarez, and Alexis is gone. You must have been off your seat.
I mean, people watching that goal, I don't know if you don't understand football to the level, you might not give that goal the credit it deserves. There's so many actions in that goal. Alvarez's press to win it back, you know, the manager kind of like telling him to, you know, almost like whipping him like it's a jockey, and Alvarez is, and then they say the ball goes to, was it Molina?
The press means it comes loose to Molina at right back ish.
The ball round the corner from Alexis is like incredible, like how he does it so far, and then the two touches from Messi. I can't remember if he used his knee and then played it round the corner. Like, how he cleaned the ball, like, got it under control, round the corner. And Alexis' initiative
the weight of the ball.
Once he's played his pass, to spin and go to the space that Messi's dropped deep for. Even the ball we played to Di Maria, how he's lifted it. He's lifted it a little bit, because if the defender's stuck his leg out to block it, he's lifted it a little bit, so it's like always going to get to Di Maria, because even if he puts his leg out, lifts it over, and then Di Maria done the best. So it's one of the best goals I think I've ever seen in the context.
What's the vicarious pleasure? I mean, you want to be that player yourself, you want England to lift the trophy, but what's the vicarious pleasure like when it's a teammate and a friend doing that?
It was as if I was Argentinian.
Yeah.
And that's I'm speaking for the whole of Brighton, by the way. The whole of Brighton.
Congratulations to everybody who recruited him and loaned him back, and you know, it's a pretty joyful story. I must have not yet met him. I was there in the tournament working exclusively with Spain, and it's time for him to concentrate on work and training and playing and winning and whatever. But in the months to come, I'd love to get to know him a little bit. Just, and also, when you see him tactically, what a right foot. How's his left foot shooting?
Not as good as his right.
Yeah, because it's on a very high level.
Yeah, he can use both feet.
To control and pass, I know that. But because he's played a lot where he's the roving aggressive midfielder, or he can play like it's called a 10, but it's like in behind the striker maybe, or also he can form a wall. And what thankfully now, I was growing up when you started playing, was just called the Makaleli position, and I will not hear the phrase holding.
No.
The fuck does that mean, holding? So this double pivot where you're defensively ordered, but you also, you add intelligence as to how the play is maybe restarted once it's won back, that he can play equally comfortably all these three games, means that in an open game, he can be any of those three, depending on the needs of the situation.
Yeah. When you understand football like Alexis, you can play anywhere in midfield. Anywhere.
Listen, we won't stop long on Messi, because maybe you'll say to me there's there's not a lot new to say. But when you see him walking around and scanning, you talk to people saying that I see a bit of something that's non-English in your play. I've always felt you remind me an awful lot of Griezmann, who one skips through a football match full of the joy of being on the ball, wanting to be on the ball, but also is comfortable in finding spaces, linking areas. It's a real, watching you play, it's a real joyful experience because it's clear how much you enjoy enacting your ideas or linking or creating space. And it reminds me a lot of Griezmann at his best. Not Griezmann, the striker at Barcelona. So that's very enjoyable indeed. But when you look at a very different animal now, Messi, to what he was, that your information brain must be very good to be able to do what you do. It's not just about technique or experience. You've got to have a lot of lateral, peripheral vision and processing in your head. You have to. When you watch, people now are accustomed to saying, well, Messi walks. Yeah, fine, okay. And he walks. The next thing is, because Pep explained it years ago, he walks because he's scanning for information. Yeah. But to scan, to take the right information, to store it and process the information you've stored in milliseconds is a little miracle in itself, isn't it?
It is. And I'm still looking at him and I'm watching him and I'm still learning. I'm thinking, like, I need to do that more. I need to walk more. Like, I need to walk more, take information more. You know, I'm not getting any younger. Messi's not getting any younger.
No.
So I'm thinking, how can I prolong my career even more? It's take more pictures, be in the right area more often, find the area, the right area, and stand still. So I'm thinking of ways how I can be in better positions more often and stand still.
What's the key to achieving that? The key to disciplining yourself or simply percentage-wise walking more often or finding yourself, selecting and then finding yourself in the right spaces? The confidence not to avoid the need to run?
Exactly that. Confidence that... And this is, I suppose, what I've probably battled with my whole career. It's being secure, not letting my insecurities get the better of me. Like, I run anyway. I'm a team player anyway. I've run too much my whole life, in my opinion, if I look back. Mm-hmm. I've not focused enough on my Spanish side.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm in England and it's... Do you know what I mean? Like, next action, run. Sometimes that overshadows the other part, and I'm in a stage at the moment, especially like with how the manager wants to play, find the space and stand still and look around and look around, get pictures, link the game. Messi's been doing that his whole life. That's why he's a genius, you know, because he doesn't feel that insecurity. Like, am I walking? What if like we watch the clips back and my teammates that see me walking, it's fucking walking. It's the best thing for the team.
But it's the why, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the why.
Because he's so fresh when he gets the ball because he's not following the ball. Whereas I look at some of my games, but I'm following the ball.
It's a cultural thing, Tyron. It's not just you. I think that British football, not just English football, has suffered from that over the years. I remember Canutti at Sevilla saying to me, London football, it's fine playing for Spurs in my time. But here at Sevilla, I choose. And the crowd are like, they're patient, they wait, they know. And if I choose and I do the right thing, then we win. So they don't have that cultural, you know, wall to vault. Whereas we're all, again, there's a huge age difference, but we were often all taught, like, the harder you work, the more you run.
Yeah.
And the crowd are like, whoa.
Yeah.
And it's a common expression, I sweat through the jersey, I sweat through the badge. But, you know, fuck's sake, you're making work for the laundry, not winning trophies as such.
You've got to be smart running.
You'd like to think so. You've done it again. Have I given you praise from Chris Hennigan yet? I'm sorry, there's more coming. Can you take it? Look, there's a lot about Klopp and how his ideas might have aligned with you, but from my position on the cop, says Chris, it certainly looked like Adam revelled in the demand of the high press and controlled aggression that came to symbolise Liverpool's early styles under Klopp. Fine. Can I set that aside? I just wanted to share that with you. Because when you say, and this is a reasonably accurate direct quote, I'm blown away by his ideas, De Serbi, and how he sees the game. He's very, very tactical in the training pitch. Lots of phases of play and deep build-up, very structured.
Yeah.
There are different situations where he wants you to do things. He gives you all the options.
Mm.
There are other phrases. Because a lot of people now talk in football speak, I think it gets bandied around a lot, but it doesn't often get explained. I'm a relatively basic fella, so when I didn't understand what transitions were, I asked Damien Duff, and he explained it really nicely. Try to explain, one, De Serbi's ideas, and two, lots of phases of play and deep build-up.
Yeah.
To try and make the ordinary person understand.
So the phases of play and deep build-up, there's to start with, it's not tiki-taka for the sake of it to look good. It's not that. It's the end goal. And the end goal is to create 4v4, 3v3 in a big space to go and hurt the opponents. You know, where your Vinicius Juniors or your Julios for us will do what they love doing and create 1v1s. The madness behind the methodology is find the spare player. Mm-hmm. Draw the pressure, draw the numbers out, and then find the spare man. And I can't go into much more detail. I feel like the way De Zerbi works and his ideas, I don't think there's anyone else working like him in football.
Would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Does it initially, to some players, feel risky? I might be embarrassed, I might make a mistake.
In isolation, it can feel risky, it can look risky. The difficulty is that you need 11 players doing the right
fully
thing.
Fully on board, yeah.
If you've got one person, not the races, or not in sync, then you're playing with fire, mm-hmm, big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. You're leaving your mate for shit. Do you know what I mean? If you're not given an option when he needs you, because we're waiting for pressure. We're getting pressed by four, five, six at times.
Often your central defenders.
Centre halves.
Yeah.
So you need to give them the right option at the right time. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly working on that. It's been so stimulating.
Yeah.
His ideas.
But it's like a symphony orchestra, I think, is a comparison, because, you know, you kind of make nice music, but if the drum beats at the wrong time or the cymbal crashes just at the wrong time, there's only one thing wrong.
Yeah.
It's still a fuck up.
Yeah, of course, a fuck up. Yeah, and
but the joy when it works, apart from winning, And apart from praise being heaped in your, the actual joy of participating in that, where everybody's got to think and move in time.
Oh, it feels amazing. It does. It feels when it works, because you work on it in the training pitch, and then when it, I've played in games where you press and you're pressing, and they get out.
Yeah.
The feeling when you run back is fucking horrible. So if that's what the opponents are feeling like every time, yeah, then that's what I say to myself. I'm like, even if we don't go through and score, it's just a jab. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels 100%. Like a jab. Because I've felt that before. But it's so stimulating, learning. You've got to know, I like not just knowing my own jobs, I need to know everyone's job. So
what makes you rather more able to interact with them if you know what they're...
Yeah, and I can help on the pitch, you know, and that's... You know, that's I really enjoy when I have new managers, is to be that guy that can help educate the players and help get everyone on board. You know, I've had it when Pochettino come in.
I was going to say, you, come in, Nigel Adkins was very... I don't know about your relationship, I'm not asking that, but he was extremely well-liked by many people, and there was a real contrary reaction when Poch came in. So having watched that and being an agent of change here and having to think about, well, what might happen, or how do I... I'm not being unfair in revealing secret. David raved about what you did with Crofty about bridging the gap and standards and yeah, teaching people and then helping the change, which is an enormous thing to be capable of as a still playing professional. If you're training to be a coach, or you're aspirating, but just to take that responsibility and think about what is change like and what does our culture need to be and how do I help embed the new man? Those are special abilities.
It's tough. You know, Roberto came over from Italy, not being able to speak the language. Mm. The club were in fourth position. Like, the expectations of... Imagine that, coming here and we're fourth in the league, Brighton. You know, beating United already, beat at Old Trafford. It's not easy. So I felt I could help by making sure the lads... because I felt it immediately with this guy. Mm. Half hour in his company, I just knew.
That's impressive.
You just get a feeling, you know, the way they speak, the way he wants to play. So then I felt I could help by helping the lads get on board as quick as possible. Of course it was going to take some people some time because we were mourning Graham. Mm-hmm. There's no way, other way to put it. We were mourning Graham. Of course lads were going to. He's changed some of their lives, made them better players, given them success, given them opportunities.
Not all of us like change either. A lot of us find it a little bit uncomfortable.
Of course, because then you're thinking, what if he doesn't like me? Yeah. I knew I could help galvanise the lads quicker. And then when it didn't take long for them to buy into his ideas, and I didn't realise how complex his ideas can be at times. So then you're in meetings and you literally come out of the meeting, you're like, fuck, I need a couple of paracetamol. My head's pounding. But in a good way, yeah, because you're being educated.
How lucky are we, like the thousands of people around the world are like, I can work on Monday again. Whereas for good days and bad days, yeah, to be tested, to be stimulated, yeah, to be educated, yeah, to be changed, we're very lucky people to work around this industry, right?
Oh, of course.
I want to be kind to our colleague and to young Mrs. Liana and say that I would and could do this for another 3 hours. You can't. So let me give you a get out. Our last question comes from Robert Ryan. He asks too much because he wants an all-time 11. Robert, a friend of the show and a socio, says, you know, he likes your play. Could you name your best 11? Let's not do that. Can I just ask you simply, random choice, your favourite three players, played with, played against, never played with, I don't care, your best three.
I'm going to name this player. I'll give you three players. The first one I played against when I was at Southampton, plays for Arsenal. We lost 6-1. Santi Cazorla.
That's a magic man. Well said.
The way he played the game, and he was this big.
He is.
And he had both feet, and I was... The admiration I had for him, how he could play, just... He defied almost the odds, really. I mean, how else? It just it doesn't matter. That just shows that
it shouldn't be possible if you just look. Yeah,
it doesn't matter though, because the ball's faster than anyone, you know. And if your mind's fast enough, size doesn't matter. It doesn't. I'm saying that to my son always, you know, because my son plays, and at times I see, you know, he gets disheartened when the big lads all bit. I'm like, listen, ball's faster than anyone. Like, let's get that straight early on. So we lost 6-1, and then Nigel Atkins was the manager. He absolutely destroyed us that game. The next one has to be like Iniesta, because I still watch his clips now. I watch his clips and the elegance, that Barca team, it's for the purists. Okay, the people that love football, that like playing football in a certain way. And again, I feel that that's the Spanish in me goes towards them types of players. When I was at Liverpool, Jurgen taught me there are different ways to win football matches and win Champions League and leagues, and it's hard work. You know, that was the German in him. That was, and I almost felt like I become institutionalised in that whilst I was there to work, run. And it just shows that there's different ways to have success. But, you know, since coming away from Liverpool and away from the intensity of the football club, and, you know, Brighton's different Liverpool, I'm kind of feeling like my older self qualities walk a bit more like, fucking hell, I'd never have said that at Liverpool, you know, walk, because I'd have been paranoid I weren't ready for the press and for second balls. Again, not saying that that wasn't right, because that was Jürgen's way and I followed Jürgen.
You won a Champions League, you won a Premier League.
Exactly.
We're both established that's super, that's fine.
Exactly.
You're just differentiating.
Exactly. So, Santi Cazorla, Iniesta, and I'm going to have to pick another. I'm going to have to pick Steven Gerrard, just because he was a hero growing up.
Yeah,
I was lucky enough to play with him for a year.
Do you agree with my point when I said to him, because I meant it sincerely, that he's got an extraordinary aura about him as a person?
Yeah, he's...
I wasn't wrong there.
And I think for the first 6 months, a year, I was shit scared being on the pitch with him, making a mistake, giving him a shit pass. And he'd hate that he'd have that.
Yeah.
He would hate that, you know. He messaged me only at the weekend after our result and saying, like, keep doing well and stuff. And he's Stevie G. Do you know what I mean? I remember, like, saying to one of the lads, like, Stevie G just messaged me. But he's just a normal person. He would hate it knowing that I felt like that. But that's just how big and fucking good he was. He'd walk into a room, the treatment room, mood would check, people stop talking, and he wouldn't like that.
That's why.
So maybe that's on us to change around him.
But also, if we were accurate in how we began this about aura, some people just—it's just there. It's not an act. It's not on. I don't know how to categorise it. It's up to us. Maybe how we react to it. But initially, with it, because there are so few men or women who are like, yeah, well, he. They don't even have to say anything initially, or they carry your admiration that you've stored up from hearing them, watching them, working on them. It doesn't matter, 'cause it's all lives, it's not just sport. When somebody has that, it's a massively powerful asset, and it's not easy to work out how you interact with it.
It's not, because his aura is completely different to, say, Pochettino's or Jürgen's or Roberto's. There was a part of me that feared it, you know, being on the same pitch as him, which I had to kind of keep talking to myself, saying, like, no, he's your teammate. Like, so I needed to, like, adapt to being working with him, you know, because he was not just mine, but so many other people's idols. Maybe others dealt with it better than I did, but I've got to mention him, Iniesta.
That's a nice midfield.
Yeah, so nice off the cuff, I'm pretty happy with that. I'm sure there might be,
yeah, but
might
I
be one or two in there.
But I only allowed like you three.
Felipe,
so.
Obviously, Felipe. I played with Felipe, and yeah, it kind of breaks my heart how things went from at Barca.
Yeah, lovely, lovely young man, lovely kid,
but lovely young man, lovely family.
Their reputation he carried from Anfield was just the best,
what a player.
And he behaved. completely within those parameters at Barcelona too. It's just that, and maybe now isn't the time, but when we talk about your peripheral, I can't give him a bad ball, or to Stevie G, and we talk about Alexis and how he works with Messi. I didn't interrupt to say I've seen countless footballers of excellence who can't interact with him, whether it's because of ability or vision, yeah, or whether it's because of intimidation, whatever. And there was a
Felipe needed to be the superstar. Yeah. He was at Liverpool. I was happy enough. Felipe, where are you, mate? I'll give you the ball. Where are you? If he wanted to one two me, I'll run for Felipe. Not a problem. And maybe the problem
game after game.
That.
I saw it. I'm sorry. I saw it. Okay.
You know,
it wasn't
maybe.
Bad intention. It wasn't lack of effort. It was you were like, but no, because we've got we're sitting in the gods, so we're sitting almost like an analytical position in the press tribune. You're like, oh, he's done it again, or he'll give when he shouldn't. Thinking, I better give it to him. No, or he won't give when he'll dribble when he should. And down there, with so many players who are playing a system, it doesn't look like it, but it's internalised, and that's hard to break into.
It's hard, because Iniesta's and Xavi's, and they've been working with Messi for years, so they just know subconsciously where to be, when to play it to him, the relationships, to go there with that price tag, to not be the superstar, okay, to not be the main man.
It's a big load. It's a big load. At the time when the coaching's changing.
That's a tough, tough challenge.
So he's on the bench. Let's leave him on the bench for Adam's top three. This has been a massive, massive pleasure.
Education. Really
I came to learn and to listen. I have done, and I know the chairman, and I know David, and I was already excited about what's happening in Brent. I'm still more so now.
It is exciting.
May the rest of the season bring you all the things that you want, wherever it might be, whether it's trophy, whether it's European, or just good football and enjoyment. What a massive pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.